To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. I bring you serialized science fiction each week. Stuff I've written. Well, most of the time. Every once in a while, I've done some different things. But right now, we're into Vatican Abdicator, which is book 3 of the Vatican Assassin Trilogy. We're about to do chapter 3. So 3 is a magic number. It's a perfect time to jump on in here. Let me set up the story for you, in case you're new. Or you haven't listened for a while. Either way, I'll give you the big picture here so you know what's going on. In the opening years of the next century, interplanetary war started raging between the powers that rule the Earth, which are the Universal Trade Zone, the UTZ, and the New Catholic Church, and that's Catholic with a small c, the NCC. It's an ecumenical church. Christian churches have all come together. And they support the UTZ, the Universal Trade Zone. Those guys are on Earth, and they are fighting with those exiled to outdated holdings on Mars, the Universal Islamic Nation. So that's what's going on here. And our lead character is BC, Bernard Campion. And he's just done it. He has just abdicated. Bernard Campion has abdicated the papacy of the New Catholic Church, so he is the Vatican Abdicator now. And again, when I originally wrote this, back in the 90s and early 2000s, there had not been a Vatican Abdicator since 1415. Then 5 years after publishing Vatican Abdicator, and only the next year after the spiffy new editions came out in 2012, Benedict left, our first actual Vatican abdicator in centuries. Wild. Coincidence? Who knows? BC has quit being Pope because he needs to plan a war. And though there were some medieval pontiffs who were de facto generals, BC can't reconcile the spiritual pursuits with the more martial ones. Not any longer. The Vatican assassin who used to kill in God's name no longer wants to deal death while pretending to be a man of peace. We're catching up with BC just 3 months after he has abdicated, as we get into Chapter 3 of Vatican Abdicator, coming up on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. A little bit of news to share first. Man, I've had some things going on. I want to share with you here. Got a new audiobook has come out that I narrate. You know, I am now professionally narrating audiobooks. And that is The Introduction to the Emerald Tablet of Thoth Hermes from Aspen Creek, written by Vincent Fox. And they are so pleased with my work on that, they've hired me to do another audiobook right away, which is very cool. So things are looking up in that regard. I am giving away a free copy of that audiobook to my patrons. So there's another perk. If you want to be a patron of mine, you could be getting yourself some free audiobooks that I narrate. Not necessarily ones I write, but ones I narrate. So head over to Patreon for that, please. That's patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. There's a $2 level, a $5 level, and a $10 per month level to help support this podcast. And you get free stuff. I've also been doing some writing as far as like nonfiction articles over at medium.com. So I've had some of those picked up and featured, which is pretty cool. So I might start doing more of that. You can read articles on Dark Phoenix, what went wrong with that movie. I've got an article speculating on what the next to the next phase of Marvel movies will be on Marvel Phase 5 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And then as far as music goes, I've also got my best albums, the 10 best albums of the year so far. So, you know, first half of the year, 10 best albums I've gotten into. So those are all articles that you can find over at Medium. And the link is in the show notes if you need it for all of this stuff. Find a link there, too, for Always Punch Nazis Volume 2. That Kickstarter is underway. It's got a brand new 5-page Alibi Jones comic book story in it. that I've written and lettered, and the art is by Juan Carlos Quatordio, who also does our music here on the podcast. Great collaborating, as always, with Juan Carlos. So yes, a new five-page comic book short story called Alibi Jones, The Legacy, which is now in Always Punch Nazis Volume 2, which you can get in on if you go to Kickstarter now and just look for Always Punch Nazis. So that's happening. And as I said, I just got hired for another audiobook, and that's one of the things I'm doing now. Part of the gig economy here, I'm doing audiobooks. So if you want to get more information on that or hire me for a book, I would love that. You can always get in touch. glowinthedarkradio@gmail.com. And just head over to glowinthedarkradio.com to check out some samples of my voice work. That's all the news for now. We're going to get into Chapter 3 of Vatican Abdicator, coming up next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Wake up. Go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather. Rinse. Repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune into Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
Now here's Chapter 3 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. Despite frenzied preparations for war, BC has slept like a baby since he walked away from the papacy 3 months ago. The shift in responsibilities has worked out well. He spent most of his time on Lunar Prime, coordinating shipbuilding efforts between the project and the UTZ, directing plague victim relief efforts, keeping the peace in the UTZ, all while he tries to find out what's going on with Dolomei and Al-Salid on Mars. Al-Salid has responded to new overtures from BC, but only to acknowledge them. He has agreed to meetings on Lunar Prime with BC and Mbeke, but continually postpones and reschedules the meetings as they approach. Wentworth has been as good as his word, working with Anita all through the summer to get the shipyards up and running. BC hasn't had to get too closely involved. Both Anita and Wentworth are more than capable of working without his supervision. Both probably function better without him getting in their way. They've kept him in the loop with daily reports. It's been a slow process, but like a rusty old machine oiled up and cranked into life, the assembly lines have begun to function a little faster each day, with slightly greater efficiency. They're finally building new ships, and arming them with the new weaponry developed by the project's reverse engineering of alien tech. And so, BC can sleep. BC lays on a cushion in a berth as he travels on one of Wentworth's ships to meet with Mbeke and Wentworth down at Vatican City. He drifts into consciousness, awash in memories of 3 months ago. Abdicate? Best decision I made in a while. Mbeke makes a good pope, and I've been able to stay away from the Vatican for 3 months. Guess I had to return eventually. Funny not to be meeting on Wentworth Station, but Wentworth will still be at the meeting. He says he's got updated figures on ships in readiness from Anita, and we may have cracked the plague's code, finally. Hope we can stop it from changing and killing more of us. Wentworth Station. Huh, I've kind of gotten used to the place. I remember how intimidating it used to be. Of course, the place never looked as good to me as it did when I got there after failing miserably on Mars. What's that noise? BC opens his eyes as Drex, once again his pilot, turns on a news feed. The voice echoes through the bridge. In tonight's news, Ibn al-Salid of Mars again postponed the peace conference, which had been proposed to take place on the moon this coming weekend. Goddamn. BC can't help but let out his disappointment. He gets up out of the berth at the back of the bridge and comes forward to sit up next to the pilot. Salid blamed the delay on his continuing health problems, the news feed continues, but this is the fifth time Salid has caused a postponement in the talks. Pope John Paul IV, acting pope for 3 months now, again indicated the NCC's readiness to attend the talks. The pope gave as an example the continued presence on the moon of the former pope and current Vatican envoy and UTZ council chair, Bernard Kempion, the NCC and UTZ representative and chief delegate for the talks. Campion, who could not be reached for comment, maintains a residence on Lunar Prime, so this is not the unilateral play for peace that it might at first seem to be on its surface. When the Pope himself bothers to make the trip, then there may be more to report. This is the Lunar Prime News Network. Cynical bastards. But I'm not on the moon right now. Can't even get their facts straight. BC chuckles as the ship continues down to Earth. All right, Drex, they don't know where I am. Guess not. Guess it's good that I do then, huh? We're almost at Vatican City, anyways. Thanks, Drex, BC says, still chuckling to himself over the report placing him on the moon. It is kind of comforting to know that they don't know where I am at all times. Not that they don't try. It's not quite as bad as when I was Pope. The drop down to Earth is uneventful. His appearance at the Vatican is not. No one speaks to him directly, but everyone is looking at him, either staring or glancing sidelong. Damn, I'm the center of attention. Feel like a walking freak show. Guess it serves me right. I did walk away from them, abandon them. Like Fortune Station on a grand scale. Always disappointing someone, aren't you, BC? It had to be done. BC ignores the eyes and walks on to the papal office building. He soon finds himself in Mbeke's study. Mbeke, great to see you.
BC, but you know it's John Paul now.
The fourth, BC exclaims, as he shakes Mbeke's hand, and then gives him a quick hug. You'll always be Mbeke to me. BC and Mbeke catch up briefly, but their talk soon turns to more serious business. Is he here yet?
Just landed. I see his ship on the display. He'll be here soon enough, by the look of it,
Mbeke speculates. A brief commotion stirs outside the doors of the study. The doors open. Wentworth enters. He's dressed in an environment suit that mimics the look of his usual business attire, yet keeps him isolated from the outside and from potential exposure to the plague.
Gentlemen,
Wentworth trumpets out as he makes his entrance. He strides in and shakes each man's hand.
Your Eminence,
he says, deferring to Mbeke.
Pope John Paul IV, Campion,
he says with a nod to BC. Wentworth smiles. He looks from Mbeke to BC.
You know, this makes more sense to me. I'm a lot more comfortable with you as head of the UTZ than as the Pope,
he tells BC.
Just suits you better.
Yeah, BC agrees. Mbeke, John Paul, excuse me, is a natural, isn't he? Mbeke smiles at the compliment. Wentworth brings out a small valise. He opens it, revealing a small three-dimensional display of charts and figures.
Let's get right to it. As you can see,
he says, addressing the other two men and getting right down to business,
we now have 52 of these new trans-space jump ships. We're calling them Stingers. Figured the originals were Flashers, so we'll call these Stingers. The only problem we're running into now is training up crews to fly them all. We're actually building them faster than we can crew them up.
How many crew on each one? BC asks.
Three,
Wentworth answers.
Pilot, gunner, and engineer.
How long do we have crew for all 52?
We've got 32 of them crewed up and battle-ready now. Figure we'll have another 10 up in a month. But you see, by then, we'll have 75 ships ready at the pace Anita's got the moon shipyards running, so we'll need another 99 crew members.
We'll be constantly playing catch-up, BC says with dismay. Isn't there any way we can train up more people simultaneously?
We're working on that,
Wentworth says.
But it's a question of who we can spare to actually do the training. We take too many trainers off of ship's crews, and we're going backwards.
BC thinks a moment. We might need to take a step back if it will afford us a greater capacity to train larger numbers. But I'm not sure we have the luxury of the time that'll take. Wentworth looks BC square in the eye.
How much time do you think we have?
2 months, maybe? BC speculates.
I don't believe we have 2 months,
Mbeke cuts in darkly.
What?
Wentworth asks. Why? BC wants to know.
You both need to see a communique I received yesterday,
Mbeke says.
It's the reason I called you both down here.
He presses a couple of buttons on his desk. The floating head of a dark-haired man appears over the desk. The hair is darker, but BC knows who it is immediately before the image even speaks.
I've never actually seen him, but I know it's him.
Greetings, Your Holiness, the man begins. I wish to speak to you, teacher to teacher, holy man to holy man. Due to his ongoing illness, His Holiness Ibn al-Salid has designated me as his emissary to the upcoming talks. My name is Ibn al-Dolome, and I was hoping we could discuss the agenda for the meeting prior to the convening of the conference.
Mbeke pauses the image. Dolome's head hangs in the air over the desk.
Holy shit,
BC says quietly.
It is him.
So,
Wentworth says cautiously.
That's him? Finally out in the open? The ancient enemy, that's Dolomit, the one you told me about? The psychic?
Not psychic, BC corrects him. Psionic. Telepathic. He can read minds, influence others through the strength of his mind, communicate by thought.
Right.
Right, Wentworth acknowledges.
Telepathic. Well, there he is anyway.
This only confirms what we already know, BC says. I say we play along. We don't want Dolomé and the UIN to know that we know who he really is.
Don't you think they already know we know?
Mbeke questions. I don't know, BC admits. But I don't think so. He knows he made contact with another mind, but I don't think he knows exactly who I am, only that I exist, and can resist him.
You resisted him?
Mbeke asks.
So he says,
Wentworth says dubiously. He's got the ability to bend other people's minds to his will, according to the Eldred, BC says. But I was able to shut him out, I think. I think Al-Salid was certainly affected by something, he says, shaking his head as he thinks back to his ill-fated trip to Mars. But yeah, they may not know that we know who he really is.
I wonder what that communique really means, Wentworth says. I don't think they intend on attending any peace conference, he speculates.
No? BC asks. Why keep stringing us along? He wonders aloud.
So they'll have time to build more of these, Wentworth says.
He switches to a new page on his valise. A fuzzy picture appears in the air over the case. Is that a shipyard? BC asks.
On Mars, hold on,
Wentworth says. He leans in and focuses the picture into clarity.
Our mole on Mars, he looks at BC knowingly, got these for us. Seems they're building a new fleet, just like we are. Remember when you said we needed to watch to see if they were modifying their ships?
Wentworth asks BC. Of course.
Here's the proof they are. A full-scale operation, bigger and more overt than we feared. So, they tell us they want peace while they arm for war,
Mbeke observes.
As we do, I suppose.
Well, BC says, they're not ready yet, I don't think, or they wouldn't be talking to us. But that still doesn't explain why Dolomé is contacting you, Mbeke. Mbeke nods at the hovering head over his desk.
He goes on to say he wants to meet with me in secret, off the record.
Right, BC figures it out. That's it. He wants to get you alone so he can fuck with your head, no doubt.
Do you think so?
Mbeke asks. Of course, BC insists, convinced. Think about it. If he could get to you, mess with your head, turn you to his side, he probably figures he could take over without bloodshed, and then use our combined forces to go after his real enemy.
And who might that be?
Wentworth asks sarcastically.
Not us.
Oh, not us. We're probably a distant second on his list, BC says. Dolomé's number one enemy is the Eldred, but he might fight us to make points with the UIN population.
And what about the Eldred?
Wentworth asks.
Any word from them?
BC shakes his head. No, they haven't contacted the project in some time, and we have no way to contact them, he admits.
Pretty one-sided communication,
Mbeke observes. Always has been, from what I'm told, BC says. They have never been very forthcoming on anything. We told them we'd found Dolomé on Mars a couple months ago. They hardly even acknowledged the transmission. They thanked us for the information, but since then, nothing.
Great,
Wentworth exclaims, the word dripping with sarcasm.
With friends like these.
Don't kid yourself, BC cautions Wentworth. They are not our friends. Matter of fact, I figure they may be gearing up for an all-out assault against all of us. Mars, the Moon, Earth, Dolomé, the UIN, the UTZ, the NCC, all of us.
This keeps getting better,
Wentworth grumbles. Did you respond to Dolomé? BC asks Mbeke.
No,
he tells BC.
I didn't know what to say.
Good, BC answers. Call him back. Get in touch and tell him you'll meet with him.
What?
Mbeke and Wentworth react simultaneously with shock to BC's suggestion. Why not? We arrange a meeting and then take him out. Bang, done. Why not? BC proposes.
Seems plain enough to me.
Will that work?
Wentworth asks. I don't know. We're no good against him one-on-one. We need to face him with numbers. That at least might work. Maybe we can overwhelm him. I don't know the extent of his mental abilities, but you can bet we're better off surprising him. A quiet alarm bell rings out.
What's that?
Wentworth asks.
The calm,
Mbeke explains, and then takes the call.
Uh-huh, yep. He's right here.
Mbeke hands BC an earpiece.
It's for you. It's Anita.
The project's asteroid base. It's under attack.
Put her through, BC says. Hey, BC, Anita says over the link. Hey, yourself. What's up? What's going on? I'm here at the asteroid base. We're looking at a fleet of about 30 UIN ships. At least I think they're UIN. Their ships look different. Haven't seen anything like them before. Anyway, they're surrounding the base. No shots yet, but they certainly look threatening. How did they know where we were, BC?
She asks.
BC has a guess.
Dolomei.
The three of them look at each other.
So then, this is it. Is this how it starts?
Wentworth, BC starts. Scramble the 32 ships that are ready and any others we have that can make the jump out to the asteroids. Have one of them pick me up here. Let's get out there, BC says.
It appears the war has started back up, gentlemen, whether we want it or not. I need to be out there. Now, BC says with the voice of authority.
That was Chapter 3 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. I need to get out there now. BC is about to head for the overrun asteroid base of the project with reinforcements. Has Dolomei really managed to update the UIN's ships already? Well, we'll find out. BC thought they'd have longer, but it looks like the war is starting now. Come back next episode and see where this all leads. Always free. Science fiction, serialized week to week on Glow in the Dark Radio. A reminder, as far as the news goes, I've got a new audiobook out that I am narrating. It's the Introduction to the Emerald Tablet of Thoth Hermes, written by Vincent Fox out from Aspen Creek. They've just hired me to do another audiobook, which is cool. That's what I'm doing these days. And I'm giving away free promo audiobooks of these books I narrate to folks who are patrons of mine at patreon.com. So if you want to get some free audiobooks, sign up for either the $2, $5, or $10 tier, and the $5 and $10 tier get the free audiobooks. That's patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. I've got new articles up over at medium.com on Dark Phoenix, Marvel Phase 5 movies, and the 10 best albums so far of 2019. Go to medium.com and just look me up, Mike Luoma, MikeLuoma. New Alibi Jones story, Alibi Jones the Legacy, is in the Always Punch Nazis Volume 2 anthology. That is on Kickstarter right now. Just over 20 days left for you to get in on this. Head to kickstarter.com and look for Always Punch Nazis. It's Volume 2, and it's got a brand new Alibi Jones story in it. And if you want to get me to do some voice work for you, narrate something, hire me for an audiobook, that's what I'm doing these days, professional voice work. Just head to glowinthedarkradio.com/voice-work, or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com and click where it says voice work. That's all for this week. We'll head out for the asteroids with BC on our next episode. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.